Hey, it's good to have you this morning. Glad that you're here. If you have your Bibles, go ahead. We're in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20 is our text, Galatians 2, 20. We'll be reading, focusing on one primary verse there, and that's in verse 20. Pastor David asked me to preach this morning to be out of town, and when I said yes, I had no idea that I would come down with a sinus infection this week, so we're going to pray that Christ will give us strength here in this time. So as you turn there, when you do have a copy of that scriptures and you do find Galatians 2:20, would you stand in reverence of reading of God's word this morning? Let's pray together that we would receive this as not as the word of man, but as the word of God as we read it. In Galatians 2:20, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Paul wrote these words: I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you that this morning we are not left wondering in the dark about your thoughts, your feelings towards us. God, Father, thank you that we're not trying to figure out exactly who you are and your plan and your purpose, but that you have spoken to us and you have revealed yourself to us through your written word. Thank you, Father, for this text, and we pray that over these next few minutes that your Spirit would take your word and you would change our hearts. And Father, we pray that we would walk in obedience. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. In 1988 at Talladega Speedway in Talladega, Alabama, Awesome Bill from Dawsonville, Bill Elliott, set the world's fastest stock car qualifying record at 212 miles per hour. Bill Elliott in 1988 set the world's fastest NASCAR stock car qualifying record at 212 miles per hour. That's in 1988. 30 years later, today, that record still holds. No one has ever gotten close to 212. No one's ever gotten close to even attempting to get close to 212 miles per hour. I definitely have not broken that record, 212 miles per hour. That record still stands today, 30 years later. Some of you are engineers in this room, and you would definitely know that in 30 years, technology has gotten better. In 30 years, the skill of the drivers have definitely gotten better. Everything from the drivers to the technology of those cars, everything has gotten better in 30 years. So then the question is how come the qualifying record at 212 has not been broken if everything else has gotten better? Well, at that time, the NASCAR officials became so concerned about the speed of the cars and the safety of the fans, they actually came up with what we call a restrictor plate. And they put a restrictor plate on the engine. A restrictor plate restricts the amount of fuel and the amount of air that goes into the intake of an engine. If it restricts the amount of fuel and the amount of air that goes into the engine has less performance. It restricts it. It bogs it down. It restricts it. God's desire for any of us is for our lives not to be run restricted. God's desire for our lives, or for our lives to be run not restricted, but for our lives to be ran strong. To be ran strong. However, if our lives are going to be ran strong and not restricted, then it's going to depend, it's going to matter, and it's conditional upon what we are actually strong in. So you can be strong in many things, but until you are strong in the right things, you're not really strong, you're just restricted. So the most important question this morning is not, are you strong? But the most important question this morning is, what are you actually strong in? Jesus said it like this: what good is it if a man is to gain the whole world, yet lose or forfeit his soul? Another pastor said, I don't really fear failure. I just fear being successful at things that really don't matter. The Bible is challenging us to be strong, not in some vague way. The Bible is challenging you to be strong in something challenging us to be strong in someone. That's not abstract, but something that's concrete. The Bible is challenging us to be strong in Christ. So this morning we're going to ask this question of, what does it mean to actually be strong in Christ? And what does it look like in our lives when we're running our lives strong in Christ? Galatians 2:20 is probably one of the strongest statements in the entire Bible about what it actually means to be a Christian and what it means to be strong in Christ. The reason that Paul wrote Galatians was because there were some early believers that had started off strong in Christ, but now they were fading. They were started off strong in the grace of Christ, but now they're trading the grace of Christ for the law of Christ, and Paul is challenging them and telling them to come back to the grace of Christ and don't trade in grace for works, but to stay in grace. So in this one verse in Galatians 2:20, this verse challenges us, it encourages us, it reassures us, it clarifies, it calls us, and it points us into the right direction. And from this one verse, what I want to do this morning is I want to show you three things that will occur in our lives when we are actually running strong in Christ. And the first one is this. When we are running strong in Christ, number one, we will actually walk in our new identity. We will walk in our new identity. Look at what Paul says here in Galatians 2:20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul is describing here, he's describing his identity. In other words, what Paul is describing here is where he finds his value, his meaning, and his purpose in life. Now, listen to this closely. What Paul is describing here in Galatians 2:20, what this is not. This is not a statement of his faith. Paul is not telling you right here in this verse what he believes. Check this out. He's not telling you, here's my 10 points of what I believe. He's actually saying, there's something that's happened to me. Something's happened to me because at one point in my life, I tried to please God by how I live my life. But what happened was I realized that I could no longer try to get to God, but God came to me in Christ. And that has been so powerful that it actually changed who I am as a person. It changed my whole identity. It changed where I find value and purpose and meaning in life, that no longer am I trying to get to God, but God has come to me. The whole point of this verse is when he says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. He's blown away by the fact that Christ lives in him. He's blown away by that. And it's a dangerous and it's a sad day for anybody in this room when you're still not in shock and in awe of the fact that Christ Jesus would live in us. May we never get to the point where we take that for granted. May we never get to the point where we're not numb to the fact that, but Christ lives in me. He's describing his identity, his value. This is not a statement of faith. This is a statement of experience. This is a statement of hope. It's changed who he is. It's changed everything about him. He's saying something has happened to him. Something's happened to him. Paul's identity is based now on the fact that he's got God. Guess what happens? When we begin to base our identity not on us, but when we begin to base our identity on Christ in us, there's two things that happen in that. Number one is that you can never improve on that. Oh, that's an amazing thing. You see, I work in the realm of athletics and sports where there's always like first string, second string, third string, fourth string, varsity, JV, five-star athletes, four-star athletes, no-star athletes. I was the no-star. I never played a snap of football my entire life, and I'm a chaplain on a football team. There goes God, you know? But you know what, by this fact, when Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me, he's blown away by the fact that he's got God. Well, you can never improve on that. There's no such thing as varsity Christians and JV Christians. If Christ is in you, you've got everything you need. He's in you. And not only can you not improve on it, it will never change. It'll never change. And Paul is amazed at this, and this is his new identity. This is where he wants to camp out on. Now, all of us in this room, what you do not get to decide today, what you do not get to decide today is if you're going to get an identity. What you do get to decide is where you're going to get your identity from. All of us in this room will not decide if we're going to get an identity today, but we will decide what we're going to get it from. And so from Paul in Galatians, Paul is saying that the best identity is never achieved, but the best identity is received. And it's received by faith in Christ. And it's a game changer in his life. Now, this begs the question for all of us in this room, is that where are we getting our identity from? Are you like me that sometimes you base your whole identity on you? And when we begin to base our identity on ourselves, on our performance, on our talents, on our gifts, when times are good, your identity will soar. But when times are bad, you're in despair. The answer for that is for us to stop basing our identity on us and start basing our identity on Christ in us. This is the truth of what he's actually saying here. I actually think that in this text, I've read no commentary about this point I'm getting ready to make, and I'm sure Pastor David will text me if I'm wrong, and that's fine, okay? But I have a guess and a suspicion here that Paul's not just preaching to the Galatians. I think Paul's preaching to himself. I think Paul's saying, I've been crucified with Christ. He's reminding himself of the greatest truth that could ever be told. He's telling himself this truth. I'm so convinced that we'll always have an identity issue until we get crucified with Jesus and we no longer live. And it doesn't matter who you are. I love the illustration of the missionary, James Calvert. James Calvert went as a missionary to the Cannibal Islands of the Fiji Islands. And the captain of the ship, right before they dropped James Calvert, a missionary, and the other missionaries off, the captain of the ship sought to turn him back. And the captain looked at him and said, don't get off this boat. He said, if you get off this boat, you're going to lose your life and the lives of those who go with you among the savages of these people. James Calvert looked back at him and he said, hey man, don't worry. We died a long time ago. Don't worry. I'm about to get off this boat. He said, don't get off the boat, man. They're going to kill you. He said, man, I died a long time ago. Every single one of us in this room, we've got to get to a point where we die with Christ. You die with Christ. And only when you die with Christ do you really ever truly live. This is the issue going on here. When we're strong in Christ, we will begin to walk in our new identity. And it'll never change, and you can't improve on it. Identity is a really important issue. The Germans knew this. In World War II, they had one goal, and that was to try to demoralize, discourage, and to devour the Jewish prisoners. The Germans, how they did that was that they would actually take the Jews, and they would attack the identity of every prisoner by stripping them down of everything that they had, shave every hair on their body, and then they would take it one more step. They would tattoo a number on them. They no longer had a name. Now they just had a number. And the Nazis knew that if they could take the identity away of them, they would be discouraged, they would be demoralized, and they would attack their identity. And so now they just no longer wanted them to have a name, but they wanted them to have a number to attack their identity. I'm a true believer that Satan himself wants to attack our identity. And I'm not sure if you need to hear this morning, but I know I do, that I'm no longer just a number, but I'm a child of God through faith in Christ. I'm his child. I'm not just a number. I love what Spurgeon said. C.H. Spurgeon said, you know, our souls must be really important if both God and Satan are after them. To be strong in Christ means that we will walk in our new identity. Our value, our worth, our acceptance is not based upon our own performance anymore. It's based upon Christ living in us. And that's our greatest treasure. To be strong in Christ not only means that you'll walk in our new identity, but to be strong in Christ means also, number two, that you will walk in a new power. You will walk in a new power. Look at what Paul says here, back to the scripture. Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. At our house, whenever we're reading the Bible together in family worship, or whatever time that if I'm trying to teach my own kids or preach to them or whatever, if we ever come across the word but, we quote Pastor David more in our house at any other time by this one thing. If I've learned anything from Pastor David, it's that if you read the word but, it actually means what? Look at that's pretty good right there. That's pretty good. The word but is the strongest form of contrast. So we're going to roll with that this morning because I trust him. And so when you're interpreting this text, if Paul says, I've been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, let's all try it. But Christ lives in me, then what, according to Pastor David, the interpretation of the text, then what is Paul trying to tell us? That the most important part of this is that actually Christ does what? He lives in us. So watch this now. Paul is not just telling us that if we're strong in him, that we'll have a new identity. Paul is now telling us that you don't just have a new identity, you have a new power. You have a new power. Christ lives in you. Christ lives in you. That's a game changer. Do you know why that's a game changer? That's a game changer because if it's true that Jesus Christ really does live in me, then that means this, that I'm no longer ever going to face a situation in my life where I'm up to my own resources. My sufficiency is from him now. I love what Tim Keller said. Tim Keller said that talking about the resurrection, he said, if Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead, if Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead, then you believe every word in this book. But if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then we close it up when we go home. The whole faith, the center of the Christianity faith, depends upon the resurrection. What's that have to do with this text? Well, it's because I'm not so sure that all of us every day walk in that mindset that Christ really does live in me and that I have a new power today. And so the challenge for me and the challenge for you is that do we really believe that? And are we really walking in that? Maybe I'm the only one that struggles with that. Maybe I'm the only one that's really trying to get my mind around that on a daily basis, that Christ really is not just my new identity, but he's a new power for me, and that he actually lives in me today to give me new power and new strength every single day. You see, as amazing as the grace of forgiveness in the acceptance of God are, now, I want you to listen closely so I don't get quoted and be committing heresy here. And as amazing as the grace and the forgiveness and the acceptance of God are, I don't think we talk about this enough in church at large. God knew that the issue of sin would be so disastrous that it wasn't enough just for us to be forgiven of our sin. He knew that we would need daily help, daily rescue, daily strength, daily wisdom, daily deliverance. So guess what? God did not just forgive us of our sins. He did not just accept us. He came to us and made us the place he actually dwells. So Christ is not just a pattern to imitate. Christ is our power. And this is what he's drilling into our hearts here. When we're strong in Christ, we'll walk in a new identity, but we'll also walk in this new power. I don't think we talk about it enough. I don't think we celebrate it enough. I don't think we consider it enough. By grace, he lives in us, and by grace, his power is at our disposal. I have a Rolex watch at home. I've got a Rolex. I got a Rolex. I got a Rolex watch. It says Rolex on it. I'm not so sure it's not. Well, the truth of the matter is, it's not a Rolex. But it says Rolex. Wait a minute. So just because something says it's Rolex doesn't mean it's... You mean that I was tricked on the streets of New York City when I bought that Rolex? Like, just because it says Rolex doesn't mean it's actually not a Rolex? Why is that watch not a real Rolex? The reason that that watch is not a real Rolex is because on the inside, it doesn't have the real stuff. The parts on the inside. But when you bow your heart and put your faith in Christ, the Bible makes a promise that Christ now lives in you and he dwells inside of you. You've got everything that you need now to live a life to glorify God. All of a sudden now, Paul's challenging us to be strong in Christ. When we do that, we're walking in a new identity, but we're actually walking in a new power. Now, why this is so convicting for me, and the reason why I want to challenge you this morning on this, is because of this one reason. I think that many of us, including myself, think that being a Christian is about placing our faith and trust in Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, and then it's up to us just to live our own lives and build our new life. No, that's not true. That's just half the story. God not only wants to forgive, he wants to get inside of me through his Spirit. There is a difference between living for Christ and letting Christ live in you. One of the first discoveries I made in the Christian life and trying to follow Christ is that living the Christian life is really hard. And you can't live it. And so now it's not so much about our ability as it is our response to his ability. And this just means here, it's a call for all of us in this room. To be strong in him means we're walking in a new identity, but we're also walking in a new power. Third thing I'm going to show you from this text is not just that we have a new identity and a new power, but we also have a new focus. Listen to what Paul says here at the end of Galatians 2:20. We have a new focus. He says, the life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So not only does Paul have a new identity and a new power, but now he has a new focus. So what is his new focus? Paul says he now lives by faith. Notice what he does not say. He does not say that he lived by faith. He says he actually lives by faith. So the same faith that you demonstrated in Christ when you first received him into your life is the same faith that you demonstrate to him every single day. The same faith that you put in Christ at the moment of salvation is the same type of faith that we should live in him every day. That's the whole point of Habakkuk 2:4. The righteous shall live by faith. This is Paul's argument in Romans 4. So faith is not just a one-time decision. There better be at least a one-time decision, amen? Okay, there is a one-time decision, but then you continue to live by faith in him. Paul says that he lives by faith in the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. All the way through verse 9, 19 through 21, notice how many personal pronouns are in this text. For through the law, I died to the law so that I might live to God. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not nullify the grace of God. For if righteousness were through the law, then Christ died for no purpose. What you get the sense of in this text is that Paul could not get over the fact that the Son of God loved him and gave himself for him. It was personal. It was not abstract. There was real blood that was shed for real sin. Now he was really forgiven. He was really made a new person. And now he has a new power living in him. And that's what led to his new focus. This is what's going on. So the question for you this morning is what about you? What's your focus? No doubt about it, this is one of the strongest verses in the entire Bible of what it actually means to be a Christian and to actually walk in him, to be strong in him. What it actually means to be strong in the gospel. And Paul says now he has this whole new focus about his life. The Hubble Space Telescope was launched from the Space Shuttle Discovery in 1990. When it was launched, the expectations for this telescope were high from the very beginning. The project had cost over $1.5 billion to create. It was the world's most powerful and accurate telescope. However, the primary mirror that this telescope used, well, it weighed almost a ton. It perched about 353 miles above the Earth, and it could look into unknown galaxies. But there was a problem. After the Hubble was set into orbit, engineers discovered that the main mirror that it had was flawed. Objects that were supposed to be clear, they were fuzzy. The problem was not the power or the size of the telescope. The problem was its ability to focus. The Hubble had to be repaired. And only when the Hubble was focused could it carry out its mission for which it was created. Size of the telescope was very important. The power of the telescope was very important. However, focus was ultimate. We're not saved by faith and then live by our works or our own performance. No, we're saved by faith and we live by faith. And that is the focus of our lives. Notice what Paul says at the end of this, what his faith is actually in. His faith is in the Son of God who loved him. The Bible's not asking us to put our faith in faith. The Bible's asking us to put our faith in Jesus Christ. It's not about the size of the faith, but it's about the object of our faith. What is your faith actually in? Paul said the gospel changed him so much that his whole life now has a new focus. His focus then is not how he performs, but his focus now is on how Christ has performed for him. There's an animal that they keep in the zoo. His name is the African Impala. African Impala animal can jump approximately 10 feet high and 20 or so feet in length. But when you go to the zoo and you go by it, it's got a 3-foot concrete wall that keeps it contained in its exhibit. People walk right by this thing, but this thing could clear the wall, jump over the wall, and jump really broad in length. Why is that animal contained only by a 3-foot concrete wall? You see, the trainers and the people that work at the zoo have learned a really important lesson about the African Impala. And it's this, is that that animal will never jump where it cannot see its feet land. All of us in this room, the God of the Bible is calling us to not just put a one-time faith decision in Christ, but for us to live by faith in Him. Every day, to renew our faith and put our faith in Him and to live there. To be strong in Christ, it means that we're actually walking in our new identity. It means we're walking in our new power. It means we're actually walking with our new focus. I almost wore them today. Last year I turned 40, and my sister bought me a really cool gift. I opened up the box, and it was a pair of shoes. You guys have all opened shoes before and had shoe boxes, but when I opened up these shoes, a little different. They were spray-painted shoes. She had bought me a pair of Nike Force shoes, and she had them taken to a local guy here in Lexington where they spray-paint shoes and put personal designs on them. All over those shoes, she had stuff painted from my entire life. Basically, everything that I've either accomplished in my life or things that are important to me in my life. I had my degrees, my children's names, my schools, all this kind of stuff, sports I've played, all this kind of stuff, my racing background, all this great things about my life that are served memories. But every time I'm like, what do you do with these shoes? Are you supposed to wear these things? You know, I'm not going to walk around look like a clown all the time. You know, what are you supposed to do? So I thought, I'm just going to hang those up on my bookshelf. That'll be a good idea. So I just put them up there next to my books. And every time I look at them up on that bookshelf, it's a constant reminder for me, where am I getting my identity from? Am I walking in what have I achieved in life, or am I walking in what I've actually received? Walking in receiving my new identity in Christ, or walking in my new power, walking with my new focus now in life. It's a challenge for all of us. For some of you this morning, you're here in this room, and maybe you might be a guest today. Maybe you've been coming for a while, and you've been hearing about the gospel. Maybe you feel like you've been trying to earn God's favor, earn God's love to your life. You could never earn God's love. God has come to us in the gospel, in the grace of Jesus Christ. It can never be achieved. It has to be received. For those of you in the room that are believers and your followers in Christ, may I challenge you this week to be strong in Christ, to be strong in your new identity, to live a life this week that would be characterized and demonstrated by being strong in the new power that's available for you, Christ in me. Can I challenge you this week to be strong in your new focus, to live, actually live by faith? I'm not sure how God wants to take this word this morning in Galatians 2:20 and work it in the depths of your hearts. But I pray and I trust that He will work it. And I pray and trust that you would receive it and you would respond in obedience to what God's calling us in our lives. I firmly believe that God's call in our lives is for our lives not to be run restricted, but to be run strong. And through Christ, we can do that. Let's pray together. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for this group, this church this morning. Thank you for our family. And Father, we pray that in your word that you would, Father, through your Spirit, work in our hearts, clarify in our hearts, search us, O Father, to see
Are we actually walking in this? Father, is it just head knowledge, or are we actually living it? And Father, I pray that this week our lives would be characterized by something that would be ran strong in You. And Father, we would walk in a new identity. We would walk in a new power and a new focus. And Father, I pray this morning if there be one here that needs to put their faith and trust in You, they would do so. And Father, we ask that in Christ's name. Amen.